you had the opportunity to do what we had the opportunity to do not too long ago, we got to go to Arizona, and we got to walk through a business, but not just any business, a growing, thriving, passionately run business. And there's just something about a business owner who is in love with his people. Can you guys relate to that? When you meet someone who is dedicated to figuring out, hey, how do I make it better for my team? You just want to know what they know. So I am super excited to introduce Tommy to you, but I want to read a couple of things that they sent me, a little intel, so you know. Our speaker started his business with just one service truck a few short years ago. Anybody new in business? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. At 17, just a few years ago. I get it. This is the power of writing your own introduction. Well done, Tommy. Okay. Now he has a fleet of several hundred servicing homes in 20 states and over 30 local markets. He is an Inc. 5000 award-winning entrepreneur, contributor to Forbes and Inc. magazine, host of the Home Service Expert podcast, and author of Home Service Millionaire and the forthcoming book, which we have available for you today. The book is called Elevate. So please help me give a really big inner circle welcome to Tommy Mello.
Good morning. So here I am, fresh from Australia. Good day, mate. They hated my Australian accent, by the way. It was more of a broken English accent. And I told Howard, man, hey, I kind of double booked 6 months ago. And he goes, doesn't matter, you're going to have to cut it short. And I found myself in Australia, and we walked into a company in Melbourne. We flew into Sydney, and we took a day trip to Melbourne because I invested in a company with some really smart entrepreneurs. Plumbing is massive there. HVAC is just getting going and electrical. And we walk in, and I had no idea this was going on. There's 130 people in a room, and they're in Chapter 11. We saved the business. We got a really amazing opportunity. It was all, they closed down for 190 days where even essential workers weren't allowed to go out. So I don't know about your business, but if I had to shut down for 190 days, it would have been tough for me too. So not really bad leadership. The culture is amazing. But I couldn't stop smiling because I walked into the office and they have different colors. They have printers everywhere. They have all this admin staff. And we got them the first license for ServiceTitan, which is my CRM. I've been on it for 7 years, and I'm like, you guys have no idea what this is going to do. They have no idea how they're getting leads. They have no idea what their conversion rate is, what their average ticket is. So I'm excited because this is going to be a home run, and I don't really have to do much, just add a few systems. They got great leadership. It's funny because I said, let me guess what you guys do. You make sure everybody gets the same amount of jobs. The guy that's been here 20 years, you're very fair about it. And they said, yeah. I said, that's bullshit. And they said, well, we're not like the United States. And they got kind of upset. I said, who's that soccer player on the wall right there? And it's some crazy awesome soccer player. I go, does he sit on the bench most of the game? And they started laughing. They go, no, he plays the whole game. And I go, isn't that interesting? You guys like sports. Do you think Wayne Gretzky sat on the bench during hockey? You think I could go on Aaron Rodgers? I could go on in any sport, but some people say we got to be fair. And I say you got to train this guy enough to earn his position in the game. And it's very interesting. Let's see here. Let me get going here. Are we ready to start this bad boy? So this is A1 Garage Door Service. Started in 2006-07. Me and a partner I got. He's a best friend still, but we went our separate ways in 2010. Howard gave me 45 minutes, so I'm going to go fast, but I could promise you I'm probably going to go an hour. I didn't know what branding was. I didn't know what business was all about. I'll be straight forth with you guys. I had no idea what I was doing. I just got into the truck and I ran jobs and I was pretty good at sales. But I didn't know marketing, and I went into Valpak, and I'm like, I'm just going to do every zone in Valpak, and if I get 1%, my dad told me if you get 1%, because that's what mailers do, but I didn't know Valpak didn't do that. And then I got into Yellow Pages, which was the worst mistake in 2007 when they were going out of business. So got into some debt, and 2014 I found my integrator. If you guys ever read Rocket Fuel, I found an amazing integrator, and he helped me get things set up on the back end. I love marketing, and I love sales, and I got obsessed with the numbers. So we're going to talk a lot about numbers. We're going to really talk about mindset today. And winning, the book Elevate is all about winning. Everybody gets to win. My employees need to win. Those are my coworkers. The employees have to win. Number two, my clients always win. They've got to win too. Number three, our partnerships have to win. Our vendors need to win, and I get to win. And believe it or not, we all get to win. See, in business, we're always taught it's win, lose, and it's not. One of the things, somehow, somebody introduced me in Australia to everybody. Kind of, they were just walking around saying, that's Tommy Mello. And the number one producer walks up to me. And this guy does $3 million a year. And I said, hey, how are you? We started talking, and he said, I don't like to share with anybody, he goes, because then I won't get good jobs. And I said, well, has Tiger Woods ever trained anybody, you think? Do you think he's ever given anybody a pointer? Do you think that Babe Ruth back in the day helped his team at bat? I said, you'll always be the best. That's a mindset. And he said, I'm not going to share it because I won't get good jobs. And we talked about this for 20 minutes, and I said, once that mindset changes where you want to help each other, I said, because you're in Chapter 11 bankruptcy if you don't realize. How good has this done for you? And I said, we came in, and I'm not a hero, and neither are the investors, but I said, we're coming in to save this. Is this where you want to be in a few years, wondering how you're going to put food on your family's plates? I'm not even on the second slide yet. So, you know what? Here's the deal. Cody, come up here for a second. Have you guys know Cody Johnson? Those who don't know Cody and I have known each other a long time. If there was a fanboy, it's Cody. But Cody, just tell him a little bit about your business. And it's not me. Cody's like this integrator from, it's crazy. I told his dad, I said, Dad, Vince, take Cody out of the field, dude. And he goes, I can't afford to. He's my top producer. And I said, Cody needs to come out of the field. And we were in Vegas when I called him. And he's like, man, I don't know. And he did it. Luckily, Vince listens to me. He doesn't listen to his son. But Vince took him out of the field, and those guys got on Service Titan. They rebranded. They got on QuickBooks. They literally went through Al Levy's courses to get his manuals dialed in. You got, what else have you done?
So we did a kick charge for the new Wrapped logo.
New logo.
Updated that, and basically just implemented exactly what you were teaching. So not all the way Tommy level, but 50% there. So business wise, end of 21 when we really kind of went to your vertical track that you did in November 21, we ended 2021 at $4 million revenue. End of 2022, which is when we started implementing the stuff that you're teaching on your podcast and in your book, Home Service Millionaire at the time, Elevate wasn't out. And then end of 2022, we were at $8 million revenue, and we were able to, cut our labor down. So what we found is by having the numbers from Service Titan and actually being able to figure out what each truck or each guy, each technician was bringing in revenue-wise, we were able to find out that we're overpaying. We were paying based off of how we feel. So the top guys were paid about 15%. Not personality, but performance on the field. The bottom guys, we're paying 19, 20. One guy was like 24% because we forgot we're paying a base salary. Then we're kind of giving them a spiff on the, profits. So we're able to raise our prices. To your point, we didn't. We didn't know you could raise your prices. He had to give us permission to do it. It was like, he yelled at us, like, you could sell bearing plates for $50 each. We're selling pairs for like $25 or something. Now we're getting $125 for a pair. So,
what are you going to do this year?
At the end of this year?
What revenue?
Okay, so we're on pace for $10 million. The BHAG is for $12 million. So.
$12 million, but hold on. I don't give two poops about revenue. Revenue is for vanity. Profit is for sanity. These guys were running around with their heads cut off. No offense, like I did.
Yep.
And now how much is going to hit the bottom line?
Yeah, so we're gonna have 30 to 34% profit.
So. There you can clap for that. So. Thank you, brother. So it's a $4 million business, bottom line. Now, if they were doing $4 million, I guarantee you they were in the single digits. $4 million single digits, let's just take 9%. That's $360,000. 2 years of implementing a few systems, he's going to do $3 to $4 million. Now, let me just show you guys. I just partnered at the end of December with a company called Cortec. And we went through the whole process. My buddy Tom Howard, which I got a picture of it a little bit, he flew down to see me. He was on my board of directors, and he said, now's the time, Tommy. He said, the banks are going through a lot of trouble way before the banks were really, you know, before they were going out of business, some of them. But I ended up partnering with these guys, and I don't look back at all. I don't regret it. We set a record for the highest multiple in home service, and it was up there. And we were doing roughly $26 million of EBITDA. And since then, we've partnered with six companies. And there's about a dozen on the way. And it's a game changer. But don't think buying companies is the answer. I promise you, buying companies is harder than growing organically. But these guys, one thing that I realized through this process is, man, we sit down with these guys once a week, and then we meet with them half a day once a month. And we're looking at things I've never even thought of. I've got equations. We've had to dive into the numbers. We've got like four analysts working on the numbers. We've hired two Six Sigma specialists to come up with a process to create processes. A process to create processes. It's next level stuff, and it all stems from the people. But knowing your numbers, not being afraid of your numbers, is everything. Ellen Rohr, great friend of mine, her sister Gail, they had to fly out to help me. I mean, listen, I'll tell you guys my biggest strengths. The first thing by far is that I recognize my weaknesses. And I always ask for help. My dad and my grandpa were the opposite. They'd go 100 miles in the wrong direction before they'd ask. They're your typical dude. They're a dude's dude. They would drive around the country. They didn't ask for help. They could take apart anything and put it back together. I'll just buy a new one. I'm so opposite. I love my dad and my grandpa so much. And I wish I had a little bit more of their traits, but the opposite, the antonym of what they are, is me. I'm asking for help all the time. I've always got four coaches full-time working with me. You know, this is important. Remember what made you get started. Remember what makes you try. And if your why is not so huge, if you don't figure out what gets you up in the morning, gets you pumped, it's going to be really hard to be successful. There's this lady. This is a really, really old story. Darren Hardy told it. And she lives in this tribe, and it's a very, very great tribe at the bottom of this mountain. This is 10,000 years ago. And she lives at the bottom, and this tribe is just in complete harmony. They're hunters. They're starting to gather. Don't predate this stuff. I'm not sure exactly the date. And they're just really, it's a prosperous tribe. And there's a really, really evil, bad group of people that live at the top of this mountain. And it's really hard to get to the top of the mountain. And this lady's baby got stolen. Her baby got taken. And they didn't know what to do. I mean, everybody cared about this lady and the baby. So they got three of their best, most fit hikers. And these guys are like, they're good at finding things. They're able to go up the mountain. And this mountain was impossible because it happened to be snowing at this time. And she's devastated, right? Her baby got taken, her little baby, her treasure. And these trackers are getting their way. They're about a third up the mountain. And this is 10 days later. And they decide there's no way we're going to make it up the mountain. They're literally talking to each other, about to head back down, and they look back, and it's the lady barreling down the mountain, and she's got a satchel, and they're only a third of the way up, and they see her coming down, and they look, and they say, "What is that? Is that the mother?" And they look, and it's her, and they get to, she gets to the tracers, and she's like, "What do you got there?" And she goes, "It's my baby." And they go, "That's impossible. How in the hell did you make it up that mountain so quick?" And she goes, "It wasn't your baby." And the moral of that story is the why was so strong. She didn't need to sleep. She had extra fuel in her tank to do whatever it took to get her baby back. And when your why is strong enough, when your why is great enough, there's nothing that can stop you. And I think a lot of people forget, a lot of people in this room, I'm sure they hate Mondays. And that's my number one rule, is when you start hating Mondays, maybe, just maybe, you're not doing the right thing. And we've all been a bad entrepreneur, a leader at times, but start enjoying Mondays again. That's important. This is Darren Hardy, and he was with his father, and I didn't memorize it, so I'm going to read it. But he said, when he was 8 years old, I ran up to my dad after skiing, Heavenly Valley in Tahoe, and said excitedly, "Dad, I skied by myself all day long and I didn't fall one time." His dad said quickly, "Then you didn't get any better." After a pregnant pause, he went on to say, "If you don't push yourself past your current ability, then you cannot improve. Falling is a part of getting better. Next time you should fall more." And this is something where I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think I've made more mistakes and fallen. I push ourselves every day. My team knows. There's 700 of us now. We fall all the time. And some people just, they don't know what to do. They're really like, why do you push us all the time to fail? And they don't understand it. And I say, guys, I know we're going to fall. I know this is unrealistic expectations. I was in one of my orientations the other day. I did 3 hours and 45 minutes of an orientation. Every single month I do the same one, but I add to it. And one of my guys walks in, and I said, "Hey, Andrew, come on stage." And then he goes, "Listen, guys." He goes, "Tommy's going to throw you a bunch of curveballs. If you think you know how you get paid today," he goes, he changes the scorecard to make sure we're getting better. And if you're not ready for change, this is not the company for you. He goes, because Tommy's always changing things. And I don't want it to be where they can't predict what's going to happen. I don't want it to be like, man, this guy's going to screw with our paycheck. That's not what it's about. But we went from having 800 service agreements this time last year to 27,000. 27,000 service agreements for garage doors. So there is a lot of change going on. One of the things Cody talked about, that's my truck originally. They called it the rape van in the top left. When I went for my master's program, they were just like, "Why do you even drive that?" I'm like, "Because that's all I could afford. I don't know what you want me to say." And then the next version was on the bottom left. And I was working with Al Levy, who is definitely my number one mentor in life. And Al goes, "Man," he took a picture. He kept texting me pictures of my truck, black and white. He said, "You want to see if your brand screams at you?" He said, "Take a picture in black and white." And I'm like, "But I love my trucks. Everybody loves them. They say they see them all the time." I had a lot of pride. And he goes, "Get rid of your pride, Tommy." He goes, "You need to talk to Dan Antonelli." And then I talked to Ken Goodrich that owns Gettle, and he said, "You got to talk to Dan Antonelli." So I did. I swallowed my pride, and I got rebranded. And oh, my gosh. You talk about a change. So many people are proud of their wraps. They say everything they do. We clean bedrooms. We clean bathrooms. We clean toilets. You clean houses. Some people that power wash have, "We do bricks, siding, roofing, gutters." No shit. I speak at a lot of these events, and excuse my French. I see these guys' shirts that do like power washing, and they have everything they do. It's like they have their family, their extended family tree on there. And I'm like, "What are you guys doing? We do garage doors. I don't have a BBB on there. I don't have a Yelp. I don't have an Angie's List. It's not confusing. People could only read 6 words when they're driving by. My billboards only have 5 words, whatever that is, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. But they don't even have a phone number. They got my website because it's A1Garage.com. It happens to be the name of the company. But this is a brand. Getting your brand corrected was one of my most important things. All right, so this is like the best lesson I could give you guys, and I'm going to draw it on the whiteboard. This is what changed everything for me. And hopefully you guys could keep up here, but these 4 things I could change and fix any business. Any business you guys have. I don't care if you're a dentist office. I don't care what you do. These 4 factors right here will set you free. You know these? You get good at these? I'll show you guys how to quickly triple your business. So you guys probably, unfortunately, and I'm going to talk about this later, you don't dream big enough. You want to write this stuff for me? Okay, cool. He's got much better writing than I do. So, San Diego, let's go like this. What's a good number? What do you guys want to hit this year? Bullshit. We're going to go 100 million because you guys need to dream bigger than $1 million. What the hell is $1 million? Okay, so right up here, a revenue goal of $100 million. Let's start thinking outside of the box. Cody said, don't set big goals in here. And I'm like, I'm still going to do it. So $100 million. Now let's just say you have an average ticket of $800. So write average ticket, 800. Just 800 bucks. That might be high for some of you, but we could fix that. Now let's say this is horrible, but you're face-to-face. This means when you knock on the door, you close 60% of the jobs. And let's just say you've got a horrible call booking rate, like 60%. If you're below 60, just walk out that door. No, I'm kidding. And then let's say your cost to acquire a customer, so your CPA, cost per acquisition, is 120. That's how much it costs you, whether you're doing pay-per-click or paying for SEO or Valpak or Clipper. Now, I just want to show you guys this simple math. All I did is I took 100 million. Now write this down. I took 100 million and I divided by 800. That's how many calls I need. And then I divided this by 0.6. And I came up with a bigger number because I'm only closing 60%. Then I divided that number by 0.6. Then I multiply by 120. So I divide, I divide, I divide, and then I multiply. And the number I came up with was $41 million I need to spend. $41 million. See, this tells me how much I need to spend in marketing. So I had to spend $41 million. It was $41,666,666. That's why I wasn't going to finish the... I was like, how in the hell did I come up with... Out of all the numbers I picked. So this is your marketing spend right here is $41 million. About $41.5 million. Now I just changed these numbers. I tweaked them a little bit. I went to 1,000, 75, 75, and 60. And it comes out to $10.5 million. All I did was move this number up a couple hundred bucks, went up 15%, and brought this down to 60. And I came up with 1/4 of the marketing spend. When you understand these numbers and how it affects your business, most people fail. I'll tell you the number one failure spot in your business is your call center. My mom used to answer the phones at A1 Garage Door Service. She used to say, "Thank you for calling A1 Garage Door Service. My name's Gina. How may I make your day better today?" And I'd be kind of watching her, seeing what she's doing. And she'd be, "Oh, honey, I am so sorry." And it just kept going. And I'm like, "Can you book the damn phone call?" And she'd never, ever say she's going to send her son. We were very clear about not saying, "I'm the business owner showing up to their house." And people would come out. I'll never forget this. Every time I went to one of mom's calls, they'd come out and give me a big hug. And they're like, who is that lady? I'm like, well, I've known her a long time. And it was crazy because those tickets, it was like they were lay-down customers. They wanted to do business with us. They didn't really care what I said. I was always, one of the things I learned a long time ago is never ring the doorbell. Strangers ring the doorbell. Friends knock. I learned to call on the way and offer something. What do you drink? Do you drink cold or hot? I'm going to bring you a Red Bull. Don't make me guess. You like Monster? Do you like coffee? Could I get the kids a Gatorade? What do you drink? So the law of reciprocity, Robert Cialdini. When I'm on my way, my CRM texts them a picture of me, and hopefully it's not a mugshot. So hopefully it's a great picture of me smiling. One of the gals, I don't know how I know her, but she sent me all these pictures of what we did, and I don't even know. I didn't see this guy's profile, but he said, I work very, very hard for my kids. And he said the names of their kids in there. And he went into what he loves about his job and why he thinks A1 Garage Service is the best. And she said it was the best experience she's ever had with a home service business. These little things go a long way, but if you get good at these numbers and you know them, because I meet a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, me and my wife run the business. We're at like 90% booking rate. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, why didn't you book that call? Well, we were busy. Why didn't you book that one? Well, that's out of our service area. Why didn't you book that one? Oh, we don't count it when it's bad because we're overbooked. What in the hell? So you have no idea what your numbers are, was what you're saying. Well, we know we're good. Or they say, we know we got some work to do. When? When are you going to do the work? Why not get started today? It's simple. I can put call cap in place and get your booking rate in less than a week. I could literally call Susie Boyder right now and have this fixed. This is so simple. Yet so, I'm in Australia and these guys thought I was like Einstein. I'm like, this is not very difficult. Put it into a system. So I'll show you guys real quick. You want to get a better average ticket? Train. When you're done training, I want you to train again and again and again. I used to play two-a-days for football. So we'd practice 10 times a week to play one game. Now, I know what most of you do. You find your best person, and they drive along with them for 2 weeks, and then they're on their own forever. I train, and then I retrain, and then I retrain, then I do ride-alongs, then I send them back to Phoenix. We triple down on training. You're not allowed to leave. You better look me in the eyes when I'm talking to my techs. I say, okay, I have one of my technicians stand up, and I say, now I want you to repeat after me. Repeat this after me. You know, Mr. Jones? Oh, you guys are going to do it. Great. No. Listen to everything, and then I'll call one of you up here. You know, Mr. Jones, I could work anywhere I want that does garage doors. I've been trained by the elite of the elite. And the reason I chose A1 Garage Door Service is because they're a fantastic company. They've been here for the good times. But more importantly, they've been here for the not-so-good times. I chose A1 Garage Door Service because I know they'll have my back. And I trust them with my family. And I think you should trust them, too. And if you don't make eye contact and say it and you're mumbling and you're I'm like, okay, do it again, do it again, do it again. Why are you crossing your arms? Do it again. And we go over these things, and I'm like, you got to know this stuff, like, and you got to feel it. I'm like, listen, guys, and I'd have one of you come repeat it, but I don't have time. I tell these guys all the time. Oh, shoot, I got to get flying here. I tell the guys, I'm like, I want you to go, who's the most important woman in your life? Other than your wife and daughter. I say, hopefully your mom, if your mom passed away, maybe your grandpa raised you. Go fix grandpa's door and fix it right, because the day I look, here's what I tell my clients. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you should do. And if you were my mom who worked 3 jobs, came home with blisters on her feet from high heels, saved the house in Michigan for me and my sister that I love more than any woman in the world, other than Bree. This is what I would do for mom. This is what I would do for my mom. And I never lie. I don't need to lie, cheat, or steal. That's off limits. I look clients in the face and I say, this is what I would do if I was in your shoes today. This is what I would do for mom. And the reason I came up for, one of my buddies told me he uses this, but everybody would look at me when I was in my early 20s and go, now, Tommy, if I was your mother, would you do this for mom? So I was like, yeah, I would. And then I started saying I'll do this for mom because so many people asked me. So you want better average tickets? You got to give options. If you're not giving options, you're giving ultimatums. Options. And don't go good, better, best. That's BS. You should have 6 options. You'll always fall on number 4 will be the most. What's better, falling on number 2 or number 4? 4 will make you more money. And always start with the best. I don't do good, better, best. I do best, better, good. And I only start with the best, and then I could come down and then come down again. I taught my guys this. My weakest techs sold out of their best parts the day I started teaching this 5 years ago. I differentiate myself. I have trademarks and patents. I have CRMs. I have different parts. Face-to-face conversion rate. If you're not offering financing, which we will never call it financing, we call it a promotion. Never use the word, do I look like I need financing? Do I look like I'm broke? Never say, hey, do you need financing? I noticed your landscaping was messed up and you drive a beat-up truck. Never say that. Smile more. Be prepped. Nobody's doing the right follow-up. We teach ref. Build rapport, educate, and follow up. I negotiate with my vendors. In fact, I'm flying to Michigan for a birthday party, then Ohio, to renegotiate with Chamberlain. Gamification. Booking rate. We have a second level CSR. If level 1 doesn't book it, level 2 jumps on the call and transfers it. It says, let me see what I can do for you, Mr. Jones. Third-party listening. I've got a third-party listening to every call, rating those calls for every single CSR. A lot of people don't understand what abandonment rate is. That's when you don't answer the phone. That means it never showed up in any of your calculations. So that means you might be at an 80% booking rate, but you're losing 10% of the calls because they didn't get answered. And it's an impossible metric to track if you've got a high abandonment rate. Rebuttals. My best rebuttal is this. Cody, tell me you don't want to book the call. Tell me how much is it? That's a great question, Mr. Johnson. Listen, what are your cross streets? Fry Road and I-10. Listen, I'll tell you what, Mr. Johnson. I've got a technician in your neighborhood today between 3 and 5 p.m. Why don't I do this? I'll have him stop by, let you know what's going on with the door. He'll have all the parts on the truck. If you like what he has to say, he could do the work then and there. If not, send him on his way. We want to do whatever we can to earn your business, and it's convenient for us. Because one of the things that we don't do is bait and switch. We're not going to give you – I hope my mechanic doesn't tell me what's wrong with my engine over the phone. Anybody that's telling you exactly what the price is before they get there, they're tricksters. I'd rather just come up when we're in your neighborhood and be able to give you an accurate assessment of what's going on. And if you like what he has to say, he'll have everything on the truck. Very simple. We're in the neighborhood, and I do look at my calendar to see when we're in the neighborhood. But, you know, we've got 400 technicians, so we're in every neighborhood. Cost per acquisition. If you don't know your attribution for marketing, I've got 6,300 call tracking numbers. I know exactly where the phone calls are coming from. User-generated content, that's called reviews. Got a lot of reviews. SEO, LSA is local services, GMB, and relationships. All right. You know, a lot of people don't get this, but a lot of people say my employees aren't any good. They don't do what I say. If I don't do it myself, it won't get done correctly. Who gets fired when a team keeps losing in the NFL? The coach. You're the coach. You're the leader. You need to take responsibility when your team fails. You can't just sit there and collect trophies all day and say, I'm the only one that works hard here. You're the only one that gets... Yeah, this is what I tell everybody. I'm on performance pay as the owner. I don't make money if the company doesn't, period. I've had to pull money out of my own bank account to make payroll several times. Thank God, not in the last 5 years. Andy Elliott, this dude went on Last Vertical Track like a week and a half ago, and this dude tore everybody up. I mean, I'll let him speak to you guys right now in this video, but this dude is intense. He had every one of his employees like this.
They're all jacked.
Bree was eating a little cheese something, and she like put it to the side. He had guys in the back that were drinking, and I happened to have a cocktail. And mine had a lime and a little pick in it. So it looked kind of, it was a vodka tonic. And as he's like, yeah, look at the drinkers back there, I simply removed my lime and moved it to the side and made it seem like water. But anyways, let me play this video for you guys.
You know why a lot of you guys are f***ing miserable? Because you look in the mirror and you've always wanted to be in good shape because you were born an athlete. You've always wanted to be kind and loving, but you've got a cold heart because you've developed it through business. Your relationship with somebody that you love that made you feel good, you treat them like, and now you guys have a toxic relationship. Your kids, they don't look up to you. You know why? Because you can't keep your word to yourself. You look in the mirror, you make yourself promises, and you never, ever keep them, but yet you're in charge of a whole team. I'm coming at you from a leader today to tell you there's the day you're born, the day you die, and the day your life changes forever. You know when that day could be? Right now. You know what you do? You decide to go look in the mirror, and you say, enough's enough. You draw a line. You say, amateurs don't get what they want. Pros do. And I'm a pro, and I'm going to go pro, and I'm taking my team with me. You know what? You can have your health. You can have your relationship with God. You can be close to your children. Your wife can admire you. You can look in the mirror and be disgusted with yourself with a wallet full of cash. Money's easy to make. Once the leader decides to draw a hard line in the sand and say, from now on, my people are going to be where their feet are. When you're at work, you're going to give me all you got. But when you go home, you're going to be good. And you're going to get everything you want to the people that you love, the gym, your God, everything you want. I'm going to make sure you get it. But this is a two-way street.
You know, that hit me so hard when he did that. I was like kind of embarrassed. But he said, how's anybody supposed to take you seriously when you don't keep promise to yourself? You keep lying to that man or woman in the mirror. That's why I brought the mirror here. And I don't have enough time to bring anybody on stage, or I would, but I promise this guy right here that I'm going to be in the best physical shape of my life next time I come to this next year. I'm going to be chiseled. I'm going to be healthy. And I just, look, I wanted to do this in front of everybody, so I keep my word. You guys are listening to me right now. I'm going to make a dedicated move to be in the best health ever. And I'm going to make some quick sacrifices. I'm not going to go for instant gratification. But if you can't keep your word when you look in the mirror and make yourself a commitment, why would anybody else believe you? You look in the mirror and say, I'm going to be the best boss ever, and then you walk in and you yell at people, and your desk is a filthy mess. You don't have a good meeting where you can't get people motivated, and you wonder why they don't follow you. It's a big deal. You need to show up. When you tell yourself you're going to do something, you need to mean it. You know, I watched this video the other day, and I said I wanted this on the slides because a lot of people, the first thing that they do is pull out of their business. We start making money. I need a Harley Davidson. We need that second house, honey. We've worked our butt off for 5 years. We finally started making money. Let's blow it all. Let's waste it. We deserve it. This is the video. I don't know why they did a man on the left and a woman, but the fact is, you should see what happens when you reinvest into the thing that makes you money. It's crazy. It's compounding. It changes the world. I mean, look, we're going to do over $200 million this year. If I kept pulling all the money out and buying houses It would have never been that way. I did have a good event in December. We've got a dream house. We're building another house in Idaho. And the point is, I finally have a place that I can invite Howard. And I can invite everyone in. Anybody that ever comes to Phoenix, now we have got a spot where the private equity guys, when they come into town, they stay with me. But this time last year, I was in an apartment. I owned the complex, but it was 900 square feet. I don't really care about possessions. I do care about people. And it was hard for me to not have, I couldn't even have seven people at the house. So I bought a house now where we could be entertained and I could deepen my relationships. But now was the time because the money already compounded itself a dozen times over again. I want you guys to listen to this real quick and remember to live your best life because tomorrow might not be here. And make sure to tell your loved ones that you care about them because you never know.
Jules, this is Ryan. Listen, on an airplane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, I'm looking good. I just want you to know I absolutely love you. I want you to do good. So happy to find. Same to my parents and everybody. And I just totally love you. And I will see you in Denver. Bye, babe. I'll call you.
And you hold out this hope, especially for someone like Brian, who, this is a silly way to put it, but he was a warrior. And you just didn't believe that something like this could take him away. So you hold out this hope until it's validated somehow. And all I needed was that message. And I think he very selflessly left it. I don't think he left it until he knew that he wasn't coming home. When I got it, it was just so Brian, and it was his final request of me, and his final way to let me know that he was going to be okay, and that he believed that he'd see me again, and that's all I needed to know.
So that was 9/11. The guy called his wife and left a voicemail. I'm sure she wished she picked up, but, you know, I don't care how great a shape I'm in. You can't avoid certain things. So live your best life today. A lot of people say I'm going to get started next week. A lot of people say, yes, I know I need to do something, but they don't know why. And they never start. And just don't have – it's easy to say this, but don't live in a regretful mindset. Live in an abundant mindset. This is huge to me. I think I hear people all the time and I hear their goals. And they're just not enough. Some people say, I want to, you know, here's one major thing I've seen. There's three main things in a business that I've seen that make people successful. Number one, they know exactly how they're going to get there. I'm sitting down with a nutritionist next week. I'm going to like eight doctors, getting my blood, finding out what food does the best, what I break down the best. I'm trying to figure out exactly how to get to my goal fast. I'll know exactly how many macros, what nutrients, what vitamins I need to take. The main goal for me is I'm going to get there the easiest way possible. And I hope I lose some weight. I just want to look good and lose some weight. That's what most people say. You know, if there were two people here, one guy said, I want to lose some weight. I'm not pointing at anybody. One guy says, I want to lose some weight and just look good. The other guy says this, or gal. They say, I'm going to lose 1.3 pounds per week. I'm going to have a calorie deficient diet. I will do cardio for 26 minutes a day. Which one would you believe? This part. I see a lot of people say, I just want to make more money and be happy. I want to spend more time with family. I'm like, yeah, so do I. So does everybody. But people that say, I want my conversion rate to go from 63% to 67%. I'm going to take my average ticket from 383 to 476, and here's how I'm going to get there. I'm starting a training program every morning, and here's the people I'm focused on first. That is the difference. You got an exact detailed plan on how to get there. Dream a little bigger. You know, I want to be a $1 billion company in 3 years in revenue. Do the math. If I make 25% of $1 billion, $250 million, that's a 20X. That's a $5 billion company. That's how much people will pay me for the business. I own 47.5% now. That's a big goal. You don't have to have that big of a goal, but have a big goal. A million's not enough. It's not. $1 million I've got technicians that do triple that. What if you only make $1 million in revenue, how could you pay anybody six figures? I have very little people in the company that don't make six figures. You know why? Because my dream's got to be so big that all their dreams can fit inside. The dream is massive. My dream is that they could all buy a house and then three rental houses and go on a dream vacation and remarry their wife in 10 years, renew their vows in Hawaii. They could do whatever they want when they want with who they want. My dream has to fit theirs inside. Because if it's all about me, $1 million, well, $1 million is not going to change their life. What do they got to do? Live in an apartment, put their kids in public school and not go on vacations? Hold them down so you guys could live your best life? People told me one day, they looked at me and they said, how can you get away with charging those prices? I said, tell me about your insurance plan. Tell me about how people are allowed to make six figures. Tell me about their 401k. Tell me about their new trucks. Tell me about your training program. They said, we don't have any of that. I go, how dare you? Look at me right now. How dare you say, how could I charge that? You charge nothing to your customers so you could shit on your employees? So you can make sure they don't make enough money to ever get ahead in life? That's what you condone your cheap pricing to your clients for? How can you look at me right now and say, how do I sleep at night? I got a brand new bed with really comfortable My Pillows. That's how I sleep at night. I sleep at night knowing I'm taking care of my internal family. This was a, I have a dream manager. Has anybody ever heard of a dream manager? This is some of the testimonials. Can I go like 20 more minutes? Yeah, okay, I'm going 20.
I've never had a lot of guidance, you know, in my younger years.
A little over a year ago, I was in a really tough spot.
I used to be a really angry person. The littlest thing would set me off.
September of 21 was the lowest time that I've ever had in my life. Even though I have four amazing kids and I have a lot to live for, I didn't see that. I didn't want to live anymore.
The Dream Manager program seemed like that next big step that I should take.
When I first came on to the Dream Manager team, I was probably one of the worst technicians in the company. It wasn't until Kelly sat me down and had me write out what exactly do I want, and that direction is what really helped me grow in the company, grow within my relationships, and then what I want. Bought a new house, had a new baby, just making life work.
In the beginning of the program, we sat down and we talked about our dreams, and we got to write out our dreams, and I had to actually sit down and put on paper what my dreams were.
I had dreams and aspirations to become a market lead, had a lot of personal struggle with, you know, within my family.
I was able to sit down and not just focus on more dreams for myself, stuff I want to do for my family, get better connections with my sons, help my dad go on a vacation trip to like Indonesia.
We're able to really see where we want to go in life and accomplish small steps to get somewhere bigger later on down the road.
I'm not saying this to brag. I'm simply saying this, that without Kelly and Tommy and Brian, whoever else made this program, we've got like $20,000 saved in less than a year.
The Dream Management Program really helped me realize, like I said last night, the only one that was stopping me was me.
This Dream Manager program has helped propel me to understand the value of investing and understanding the company, the processes, procedures, investing in myself to understand it better.
I've paid off over 10 grand in debt, you know, in just a year and a half of being here. I just bought a new car. House is next on the list, like many of you guys. And I have very, very big goals to come.
And now I come downstairs from working, and I'm happy to be there, to see my kids, to see my wife, and be a part of their growth. And what's really fascinating is now I can use those to help be a better parent to my kids, and my kids will reap the benefits of this program as well.
So this is the Dream Manager program, and what it does is it creates a budget, and it helps people save money and buy a house. I can't tell you enough. This is Howard talks a lot about this, but you could have everything you want in life if you help enough people get what they want. Zig Ziglar. You could help everybody around you win, and it's amazing what happens. I love it because I asked in this room of all the guys that graduated from the Dream Manager program who bought a house, there was three guys without a hand up. out of 50. All homeowners now. I'm telling you, with the calls that I get, we hit a record day. We hit 725,000 the other day. And we're always hitting near there, but that was a record. And I got another phone call later of a guy that just bought a house in his mid-40s. And I'm telling you, that second call was 10 times better than the hitting a record revenue. You know what we do in the Dream Manager program? The first thing I do, and I'm getting everybody in my company enrolled in this, is peel back the onion and get them to dream a little bigger. You see, you guys need to dream big, a lot more than $1 million or $2 million or $10 million. Hopefully, you could do the math equation to get there and make it a reality. Because if you know where a treasure is and you think it's somewhere, you don't have a map on how to get there, this is your map. This is not hard. You know exactly what needs to happen. All you need to do is dump fuel into the tank. But guess what? If I have them dream and I peel back the onions, I don't have really difficult conversations. I say, hey, listen, you promised me to hold you accountable. Remember? You wanted to own a house by November. You were going to go on that trip. So these hard conversations become really easy when it's about them and their dreams. All I do is hold them accountable to their dreams. I say, listen, we wanted this together. There's nothing going to satisfy my life more than watching you win. And a great coach holds you accountable. My coaches looked out for me outside of the game. My mom worked three jobs, so my coaches made sure I was fed. They made sure I was getting good grades. They cared about me enough to watch me in and out of the game. And that's what I do with my people. The story of the donkey, right? You guys might not know this story. There's this donkey. He gets stuck in a whale. Well, not a whale. He gets stuck in a well, and the well's pretty deep, and the farmer comes over there, the rancher, and says, listen, I don't really need this well anymore. It's a dried up well. And he says, listen, by the time I figure out how to get this donkey out of here, it's not worth it. He goes, so I'm just going to get the other farmers around here. We're going to bury him. So they all start shoveling the snow onto this donkey. And the donkey starts screaming. He realizes his life is about to be over. He's about to be smothered alive. And all of a sudden, as they're shoveling, the donkey stops crying. And when they look down in the well, they didn't understand it. It was crazy. All the dirt that was landing on his back, he'd shove it off and stomp on it, and he'd go up a little bit. And a little bit more, and a little bit more. No matter how much dirt they threw on him, he just shoveled it off, shook it off, and he just compacted it and started getting up. And before you know it, as they're shoveling faster, he jumps out of there and runs away, free. No matter how much dirt somebody throws at you, you're able to get out of it. And the teachings of the donkey says, free your heart from hate, free your mind from distractions, simplify your life, get more and expect less, learn more, and shake off the dirt. Because in life, you have to be the solution, not the problem. The difference between average people and achieving people is their perception and how they respond to failure. This monitor is flicking pretty bad. Look at this. I just said, this is how I'm going to respond to failure right now. I'm going to come right here. So I learned a lot. You know, this guy walked into my office. I'll make it 10 minutes. Don't worry. So I do have 10 minutes. She did tell me that. So this guy walks into my office last week, and he says, this dude is a brain. He's super intelligent, and he says to me, dude, I figured out some AI, artificial intelligence stuff. He said, I could actually do this, 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 this. And I said, that's amazing. I said, I'm really proud of you. This is going to change my business. I said, but you're missing 50% of the equation. He said, what other 50%? I'm going to raise your booking rate. You're going to know this. You're going to have AI to figure this out and this. I said, don't you understand that if I put my best technician in any job, he'll beat everybody? I don't care if I put him in the ghetto in Detroit or Milwaukee or wherever across the country he needs to be. You're forgetting about the people running the call and the training and the culture. See, you only care about the customers coming in. He's taking humidity out of the air and all these other factors to figure out the best pots to market in. But if I work on one technician and I train him every day and I motivate him, and I'm not yelling at him, I talk to him about remember why we started one-on-one, remember what we're going for, and in public I always praise. I'm always praising in public. This is when failure hits you, you figure it out. So we started taking this test. It's 64% accurate when someone takes the perception predict. I know that they're going to do good in my culture. Most tests don't take into account your culture. You know, you ever heard of nature versus nurture? Nature is what God gives us. Nurture is your training. This takes into that consideration. They took the worst Mercedes dealership in the country and made it the best within 9 months. Surround yourself with great people. That's Tom Howard. There's Bree somewhere in the background. So this is a pretty good, you know, your whole life you spend chasing the money, and then all of a sudden there's the end of the road, and there's one movie that I really thought of that this helps me really hits home.
Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Had to. So we had our Pinnacle Club. One of the things we do for the Pinnacle Club, my dad used to run one of the most successful AMCO transmissions, and they go on a Pinnacle trip. And this is like a rite of passage now for my guys and gals. This is like they will do, they don't care. They just want to say, I'm a Pinnacle member. I've made it. I've arrived. And I don't think they say, they understand. One of the interesting things I did at this last Pinnacle Club is my technicians that made it, and we're bringing CSRs, dispatchers, and installers next year, is they got equity in the business now. So now they're owners. By the way, in December, we had 25 owners of the business that are all millionaires. I did an equity incentive program. 25 people at the end of December, right before New Year's, got wired. Some of them 10 million, some of them over a million. This is the trip.
Trip for me is a lot more than just a fun time. It's a celebration of your hard work. I just love this stuff because I think this trip's going to get bigger and bigger. I wish all you guys were here right now. I really do.
It's a fantastic thing that Tommy does for us. It really is meant to be motivational for you guys. We'll have something rolling out for installers. We want to include them in the Pinnacle Club next year. We want to do more stuff for dispatch and CSRs and have some exciting and just really bring everybody together, because at the end of the day, we're a family. And, you know, we always talk about it. We just want everybody to feel that.
Go out, absolutely kill it. There is still plenty of time left in this year. If you are willing to never quit, if you are willing to do what it takes to grind it out, whatever you've got to do to make it happen, just do it.
Can't thank everybody on the call enough. Everybody that's here at Pinnacle Cup, congratulations to all you guys. You guys kick ass. You deserve it. So, nice job.
It was crazy. We went on Pinnacle Club to Tulum, Mexico. We get back to Phoenix.
You gotta love the Pinnacle trip in Mexico. Everybody should be here.
Oh, well. I just saw that video last night. Giuseppe just made it. Oh, I did. So we bet $10,000 on volleyball. I gave each of my team $1,000, and we ended up winning. It was nice. And I took the money because it was my manager. So I get back to Phoenix from the Pinnacle Club, and then we've got the Dream Manager program. We took them to Topgolf, then a baseball game. Then we went on a huge picnic with all the A1 family, and then we jumped out of the sky and was skydiving. That was all in 1 week. So it's so much fun. People say I can't afford all that stuff. I say, can you afford Bisquick? Can you make pancakes? Can you do something? Break bread with your people. That's all that matters. Get to know them a little more. Invite their families. Get to know their kids. Get to know their pets. Find out what motivates them. Find out what drives them. You know, this is yesterday on my Facebook page on A1. Brand new homeowners just yesterday, two of them. Just got into their house. Two on the right. All you guys need to promise me is very simple. You're going to make decisions quick. You're not going to wait. You're not going to wait to get in shape. You're not going to wait to get started. Number two, you're going to realize that your failure is part of your growth. Number three, remember why you started and make sure it's so big, so important, so deep that you could be that woman from the village to go get her daughter. Stop lying to yourself. And be accountable. Be accountable for the good and the bad. I'm going to skip this video, and I'm going to play one last video, and then that's it. This one is it's about A1 expansion.
Tommy owns a company called A1 Garage Door Service.
We're here at the A1 Garage Door Showroom with owner Tommy Mello.
A1 Garage Door Services.
A huge thank you to A1 Garage Door Service.
A1 Garage Door Services is taking the world by storm.
We are going to take over not only North America, but here we come, Australia. So just remember, listen, I want you guys to just really, really think about when you look in the mirror and you keep honor your word to yourself, because no one's going to trust you if you can't be honest to yourself. Become the best leader you could be. Dream a little bigger. This is the way to get there, and it's not hard. It's right here in front of you. All you got to do is use it. Listen, focus on your people, double down, and find out what's in it for them. What's in it for them? Figure out why they're going to work for you. There's a lot of choices out there. Yesterday, a guy texted me. He was promised a $300,000 job in solar. He goes, I wouldn't leave you for the world, brother. And I said, good. I said, because I wouldn't leave you for the world either. I said, you're part of my family. These guys have been to my house. People say, they can't come to your house. They can't see where you live. I'm like, they bought me this house. They're allowed whenever they want. So listen, just give it all you got. Stay accountable. You're accountable for everything good and bad. And stop lying to yourself and know your numbers. Thank you guys so much for letting me do this today.
Woo, thank you. Wow. Wow, thank you, Tommy. That was awesome.